Sean Khalifa, man.
Tone change.
Money's the motivation. And welcome to a special edition of Who's Playing Who, or maybe we should call it Who's Watching What? I don't know. I'm Adrian McMurray alongside Tom O'Yee to review the great movie Fast and Furious 6. How are you, Tomo?
I'm good, thanks, Adrian. Always a pleasure, never a chore. I have to admit, I am really excited. This could possibly be my most excited I've ever been for a podcast.
That's a big call.
No offense to Matt and James and Shippy and any other podcasts we've done.
Well, I should mention as well at this point that we did invite the entire crew on, but they politely declined. But that's okay. We've got two of us on board to review this great movie. And I will also, we'll also touch on the podcast as a whole at the end of this, sort of where we're at and why we disappeared for quite some time. But now we're making a miraculous appearance here. Let's review this great movie. One of the best bad movies you've ever seen, Tomo.
We've got to put it out there. There's going to be a lot of spoilers in this movie.
Oh, yes.
It's safe to say that if you planned on... You thought, you know, you hadn't seen it yet and you wanted to check it out, but you weren't quite sure if it's worth the money, and you thought, oh, I'll listen to Adrian and Tomo talk about it to decide, well, we'd ruin the entire movie for you. It's safe to say, yeah, it is definitely the best way I can describe it. It is the best bad movie I've ever seen in my life. So it's not like an unbelievably technically perfect movie. You know, it's not up there with like The Godfather 2 or The Dark Knight or something like that, but it's bad. It makes no apologies for it, but it's so entertaining. Mm. That's the best way I can describe it.
Yeah, it's the most fun I've had in a movie theater for quite some time. Really enjoyed it. Now, we're going to go through a couple of things. As Tomo did say, this is full of spoilers, so this is your last chance to listen away. Just
click onto another web page.
Hit pause.
Thank you for the hits. I mean, if you're listening up to this point anyway, I'm sure that does count as a YouTube hit, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, sweet.
So we're gonna go through various scenes in the movie and sort of questions, pull them up on a few things, maybe explain them. So I'm going to start with the airstrip in the sort of final scene.
Yeah.
Set the
scene for us.
All right. So they're about to take off on a plane, but of course, Toretto and his team want to get the cargo back, and the plane's about to take off, but no. No, I think about, 10 minutes?
I would say even 20 minutes.
Yeah, that airstrip, seriously, and the entire time the plane's sort of just on the airstrip or just hovering over it, and for about, yeah, a good 15 minutes.
I would say that the cars are driving on the airstrip a good 2 or 3 minutes before the plane even lands on the airstrip.
True.
And then it continues to drive for probably another 18 minutes. on this airstrip waiting to take off. And it blows my mind because Owen Shaw drives his car onto the plane. The plane is set. He's ready to go. But the plane is just on the runway, just keeps driving for another like 15 minutes. And I just can't. Oh, it's just mind-blowing. It was an extremely long runway. It's the only logical reason.
Okay, now we go back a bit to the tank scene. And... Now, I don't know if I've missed something in the advances in tank technology, but how fast was that tank going? And can tanks actually go that fast?
It was going really fast. And it was going fast to the point where it looked like the cars that Toretto and his gang were driving, like, struggled to keep up with this, like, super hybrid, souped-up military tank, which I'm guessing is the only one made. It did make for some I mean, you saw it in the trailers, and you saw Ludacris be like, guys, they got a tank, and you're like, oh, shit, here we go. But it's an incredible scene, and it's like, after Fast 5, and, I mean, this is the sixth movie they've done, and there's only so many vehicles that it can, like, that you can put on a chase sequence to make it original, and I feel like putting them in a tank is... I don't see where they can go. After this, I really don't see what other vehicle they could use unless they start, you know, move Fast and the Furious onto the water and start using boats. I feel like the tank is the last kind
frontier.
Of vehicle. Yeah, almost like it's the last kind of vehicle to go over the top. I mean, anything after this is just really jumping the shark, isn't it?
Do you reckon they'll go into space at some point?
Hey, I never doubt Dom Toretto and his team. I feel if he gets to the point and he looks in the camera and he lowers his voice and he's just like, it's for family. Like, if he just he has a very strong sense of family. And so if I feel like he really puts his mind to it and his sister Mia is in space, he will somehow nos up a vehicle and just drive it into the atmosphere.
Yeah, that's it. They're secretly all rocket scientists as well. Now, we must also in that scene, the sort of the climax of the film, I guess, was the they're calling it that dive and catch, and the where Toretto sort of jumps out of the moving vehicle, catches Letty, and they land safely on a car on the other
Not
side of the
highway. Not a scratch. Not a scratch in there. What did you think of the scene, first of all?
Well, the whole scene was awesome, and then that was just that for me cemented this film as one of the great sort of not like piss takes, but like one of the it was one of the great action moments.
Yeah, in it's definitely this is the thing with the Fast and Furious franchise. Like, they're so self-aware now of what they are, and they make no apologies with it. Like, they know that they're not going to be taken seriously, and people just want to be entertained, and for that reason, they start producing these unrealistic stunts. I mean, people complain, you know, about how Batman is in this unrealistic world by Chris Nolan, but you got Dom Toretto, like, flying out of a car over a bridge to catch Letty. Like, let's just set the scene. Like, so they're in the tank, Owen and his bad guys, and
that's stupid enough. Like,
that's going really fast. It's quite dangerous. And then one of Dom's team fires like a grapple, I'm pretty sure, is it? A cable around gun of the tank.
Yep.
Which then Owen Shaw's like, hey, Letty, go and unhook it. You're the only woman on the team. I don't know his reason for it. And so she gets out of the tank and she's literally just standing on top of the tank.
Yeah.
And then the car that the wire is attached to goes off the edge and it acts as an anchor and drags the tank over. Meanwhile, Dom is riding beside the tank being like, Letty, jump, jump. And then, like, so the tank goes over. Yep. Dom instinctively just jumps, tackles Letty in midair over, like, this little parting of the bridge that drops down into the ocean, tackles her across the parting onto the windshield of a car. Of another car, and it's freaking epic. I mean, I was in the cinema watching it, and it was a full cinema, and he jumped, and everyone's like, "No way, what?" And then everyone's like, "Holy shit, what just happened?" And I remember just everyone's just kind of like looking around at each other, like everyone stopped looking at the screen, was just like, "What is going on?" And then the icing on the cake is when Letty asks her later in the movie, like, "How did you know the car was going to be there?" And Dom just looks through and goes, I did it. It's just wonderful. It's just fantastic.
Wonderful cinema. Yeah, no, everyone totally lost. I think everyone just stopped and laughed when I was seeing it. So
it's so ridiculous. It's awesome.
It was, yeah. Now, The Rock, he was epic throughout. Oh. Look, he just goes to another level in every movie he's in. And I think he really cemented himself here as really one of, I would say, Hollywood's elite. I think maybe that's just the Rock fanboy in me coming out, but
oh, I've got to agree with you. No, I definitely agree. I feel like this is like The Rock is at the stage of his career where he's doing what everyone thought he should have been doing from the start, if that makes sense. Like, he did all these little random movies, like these kid-friendly movies, but from the outset, he really should have just done action movie after action movie after action movie.
Yep.
Because he is the modern day, I mean, they're calling him modern day Arnold Schwarzenegger. And it's true. Like, he is just the man.
And what about the, I know you particularly enjoyed the scene at the end where they were, what, The Rock and Vin Diesel were chatting?
Oh, well, let's backtrack, first of all. I mean, The Rock and Dom Toretto have this wonderful chemistry. And it backdates to Fast Five. I don't really know if The Rock and Vin Diesel are just such good actors where their scenes together are just, like, so electric and just so, like, tense, you know? So intense. Mm. Like, there's, you know, you can cut the tension with a knife. Or they're both just really bad actors. I really can't tell.
think The Rock's carrying him, to be honest.
I think. Well, it's amazing, because every scene that those two are in, they're, like, at eye level with each other. But in real life, The Rock is, like, 6'4", and like, Vin Diesel is, like, 5'10", 5'8", or something. He's, like, my height. And, like, there's this... And the fact... I tweeted this, and I said, the most amazing thing about the Fast and the Furious series is not, like, the stunts. Like, because they are epic and they're outstanding. But it's the fact that they could make The Rock and Vin Diesel the same height for their entire movie.
Mm.
Like, it's pretty crazy. So there are a couple of awesome scenes. There's the first one. Obviously it takes a lot of leaps of logic in this movie, as we've already established. The very first scene, this is without Toretto. And The Rock is, he's just missed out on catching Shaw. He's just blowing up a lot of London and... or something like that, and he's just basically, he says to that girl that turns out to be bad, is like, to catch, like, he doesn't, I'm sorry for the rambling, but he doesn't, like, take care, he doesn't use the FBI resources or the CIA or Interpol or whatever, he's basically just like, to catch wolves, you have to hunt with wolves. And then smash cut to the next scene, he's in Dom Toretto's home, and he's like, so, this is what $100 million buys you. And then Toretto's just, is like, who says I was hiding? Like, it's just some ridiculous dialogue.
Yeah.
But then the end scene with Toretto, where they're at Dom's old house, and it just gets real awkward. Like, they're talking with each other, saying about how I didn't think I'd ever trust a bad guy, or I never thought I'd trust a cop. And then they just take real awkward steps towards each other.
Yeah.
But they're not face on. They're like a foot to the side of each other, so they're basically just like staring into blank space, but standing within like 3 inches of each other's faces and doing these random sentences, and then it's just like, oh, sweet, until next time, and he just walks off. I couldn't believe it.
Can I just say, whenever we talk in future, I always want us to be talking like that, just that close,
without a doubt.
Yep, no eye contact, just. Nope.
And in short sentences.
Exactly.
Short sentences.
Anyway, look, let's move on to Han and Giselle. Spoilers, they both die. But does anyone care? Like, this, I was devastated. First of all, when Giselle died, but good on her for killing that guy over Han's shoulder as well.
That death scene, her death scene's pretty incredible.
I was devastated.
The way she, like, jumped out, turned around, fired a gun, and then just, like, dropped into oblivion. For all we know, she's alive somewhere.
See, I didn't get that, because no one seemed to care at the end that she's like, where's Giselle? And then they just sort of looked into the flames.
See, I was gutted, because she was a babe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, she sort of just fell. I didn't think they were that high off the ground anyway, but apparently they were at that point. But yeah, and then Han as well. Of course, we caught up to Tokyo Drift there at the end, and it turns out, bloody hell, it was Jason Statham.
I know. It's pretty crazy. It's kind of nice kind of getting to that point, because up until then, there was a lot of confusion over, like, how Tokyo Drift fitted in chronologically with the other Fast and the Furious movies.
Mm.
Because, you know, Vin Diesel was only in it at the end, and Han died, and then all of a sudden he's back for 4, 5, and 6. Everyone's kind of like, well, what the hell? First of all, I was gutted Han died. Again. Even though I knew he died, I was gutted he died, because... He made me believe that I, as an Asian man, could also have a hot girlfriend like Giselle. She is smoking. So I was gutted, but congratulations to him. Proud of him. But
now he's dead.
Yeah, now he's dead. But it's crazy how it's all worked out. And it's kind of interesting how they all fitted it all in together, because at the end of Tokyo Drift, you know, Han gets, well, not at the end of it, but he gets killed in a car accident, and we assume it's just a random accident because they're drifting in the streets of Tokyo.
Mm.
But now, at the end of this movie, they recreate that death scene and then have, you know, Jason Statham come out of the car that kills Han and basically just calls Vin Diesel and just being like, you don't know who I am, but you will. And it's like, hangs up, and everyone's like, oh, man, because it's exciting, because Jason Statham has basically always been a good guy. And I guess the fact that he's British means that he's related to Owen Shaw. And now Vin Diesel has to fight this guy now, which is pretty exciting.
Yeah. Look, it looks like Fast and Furious 7, not too long away. I think next year actually released. So
yeah, it's rid- ridiculous how fast the turnaround is. Apparently, I think they're shooting this year, and it's, you know what? I'm all for it. I think the more Vin Diesel we can get, the better.
He's doing very well for himself, though. I gotta say,
he really has. And I mean, we've made fun of him, but we mean it with love, because honestly, that series is I've never been good with cars. I don't know anything with them, but he's made me like believe that I could be a good driver. I don't know how. I don't know about you, but I drove home after that movie recklessly. And talking in a low voice. In short sentences.
It was a really bad combination, because I saw it over the long weekend, and double demerit points in force. So just a bad, really bad combination all around. But yeah, I did feel pretty badass driving home. All right, where does this one rate in the scheme of things? Is it up there with the best in the series?
Oh, it's hard not to. I mean, first of all, the Rock's in it.
Yes.
There are ridiculous stunts. I mean, an order of stunts that... It was pretty mind blowing in Fast Five how the Vin Diesel and Paul Walker are both driving a safe across the streets of Brazil. But I think they topped it with an extremely long runway and a plane.
Yep.
So I really have to put this movie at the top of the Fast and the Furious franchise. It's just a lot of fun.
Wow.
It's a lot of fun, and I can fault it. But I can't fault it.
No, there's no faulting this. The Rock, no. Rock's work's outstanding. The whole cast, well done. How many Tomos are we giving this one out of five?
Oh, five Tomos out of five. Purely on just fun.
There you have it.
I don't know what that tells you, but yeah, it's a very enjoyable movie.
Well, there you have it. That's the that is our review of Fast and Furious 6. Tell us what you think in the comments, or you can tweet us at Who's Playing Who. Find our Facebook page. facebook.com/whosplayingwho. I'll probably throw it up on the website as well, whosplayingwho.net. But that's it for our review. Now, in terms of the podcast in general, we did sort of leave halfway through the summer series and then never return. We're currently in negotiations with the entire team as to when we will return and in what form. So we'll see how this movie review goes, and we'll reconvene. And yeah, you never know. We could be back next week to review another movie. I'm not promising anything, but it might happen. So we'll wait and see. Tomo, it's been an absolute pleasure.
Good to hear your voice again.
Absolutely. And what is it? Ride. What? Oh, I'm going to screw this up. Catchphrase.
Is it ride or die?
Yeah, that's the one.
Ride or die.
Ride or die.
Honestly, best bad movie of all time. Without a doubt.
Can't believe I screwed up the catchphrase. Thanks for listening. On behalf of Tom and myself, it's bye for now. This moment.